Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning, everybody, across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to the Todd Albaugh Show for a Wednesday hump day. It is the 30th of November, 2022. My little sister's birthday today. So happy birthday to Addison, that's my niece, to Heather Galloy, who's teaching in the Eau Claire School District, getting it done for our public school education. So happy birthday to Heather today, and welcome in all of you on down here in Madison. And by the way, I am back at Madison after quarantining in the beautiful southwest hills of southwest Wisconsin, the Driftless area. I do have my mask here in studio to protect it. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you. I have my my mask to protect my my coworkers. I have tested negative after 5 days of initial exposure, and so I think I'm doing okay, but to protect Aaron and the rest of the folks here, still wearing a mask for the next couple of days. But Aaron, it's great to be Mr. Zahmer. It's great to be back here in studio with you. How you doing?
Doing pretty well. It's good to have you back.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't mind working from home, but you know, I like the energy of being around other people. You know, that's always a good thing. Also, some great energy as far as if you like winter conditions up north in the Amory area. Understand that they had several inches of snow up there. A winter weather hazards advisory for basically all of parts of northern Wisconsin in Amory and Wausau for blowing and drifting snow or high winds. Especially this afternoon and tonight, if you have a high-profile vehicle, be careful if you're on the roads. Gusting up to near 45 miles per hour, the winds will be. Down in the southern part of the state, Richland Center, if you're listening there, in the RCE listing area, winter weather advisory for kind of Iowa County, Sauk County, for some high winds as well. So wherever you're going today, do so carefully. It is Wednesday, the 30th of November, hump day. We made it halfway through the week. And something that we talked a little bit about this morning here, right before my show came on, our friend and colleague and anchor up in northern Wisconsin with Up North News, Pat Kreitlow. I joined him on the last part of his show. And we're going to kind of do this, make this a thing. In the first part of my show here on a Wednesday, we welcome in Pat Kreitlow. How you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
Better than now that I'm testing negative for COVID, so...
Yes, I mean, look at you doing all the right things, taking all the right precautions. You warm my heart to hear that still happens out there.
Thank you. You know, I think it really does come down to just respect for the people you care about and work with and love. So, you know, it's not really about yourself, right? It's about just trying to do the right thing for others around you.
You're right. And I'll have a mask on later today simply because it's cold and windy and I've got to shovel my driveway with this wind. So if we've learned nothing else from the past couple of years, it's those face masks, whatever you think about them from a health standpoint, it kind of help keep your face warm in the wintertime. I think there's chapstick probably sells less for chapped lips because more people are wearing face masks now than ever before.
I think you're right. And you're in beautiful Lake Wasota there. For those of listening to our show here who don't know, tell folks kind of exactly where that is in the state.
We're in beautiful Chippewa County here, right at the beginning of Up North, which is Highway 29. Don't claim any other road. I will fight you on that. It's 29. That's the one answer. Anyway, we're up here on Lake Wasota in Chippewa County, just north of Eau Claire, where we get to talk to the whole world, whether you're here on Lake Wasota, where we got about 2 inches of snow, or up in Rice Lake, where they got 7, where my wife commutes for work every day, and then another 7-8 inches over in St. Croix County there. So I feel pretty lucky that we are on the periphery this time around, but at least we had an excuse to play Christmas music now that we've got some white stuff on the ground.
Isn't that the truth? Absolutely. We're going to be doing this on Wednesday. Sometimes there'll be something lighter, sometimes maybe more serious. I want to get your take this morning, Pat. For those who don't know, Pat was a state senator for that part of the state, the northern, kind of the northwest part of the state, in the Wisconsin State Senate. At the same time, I was a staffer in the Senate, but he was also a news anchor at the Eau Claire TV station there. So you bring a really cool and diverse background and perspective. And Pat, one of the things that when I woke up this morning, I guess I saw it last night before I went to bed, but the passage of the same-sex and interracial marriage bill sponsored by Wisconsin's own Tammy Baldwin here in Wisconsin. And on our show yesterday, we read two articles, one about the protection of marriage bill, but also the fact that she brought in over $7 million for agriculture. And she, I think, is such a well-rounded legislator. And as someone who's represented the state in the state legislature, just give us your one-minute impressions on Tammy Baldwin, just as a great legislator.
Well, the thing is, when she was first elected in 2012, a lot of people were somewhat suspicious, dubious. Could this Madison liberal really represent an entire state? And as somebody who I very briefly worked for her first 3-4 months in office, and you realize she's just an absolute workhorse, and she goes deep into anything. When I would take her around up north, she would learn whatever she could about the timber and the paper products industry or whatever they needed, because she understood that that's what a senator does. You are there to serve the public, your constituents, whoever they are, whether they agree with you or not. And it's not about your background so much as it's about your work ethic, because people are like, what have you done for me lately? And when people see Tammy Baldwin, they go, this is what she's done for us. She's not just talking about the Supreme Court and same-sex marriage. She's doing something about it. She's bringing home the bacon, and that's what people respect.
I think you're absolutely right. And she really gets different. I mean, she is beloved in Wisconsin Dells, a very Republican pro-business area, because she has sat down with leaders there and gotten funding for roads.
Without a doubt. I mean, again, she knows what needs to be done and then just goes and quietly does it.
Pat Kreitlow, thanks for joining us for a couple of minutes. Have a wonderful day up north.
Thanks. You too. Talk to you later.
All right. Talk to you later. We'll be back with more of the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. For a Wednesday, November 30th, 2022, as we welcome you back in 8:15 on a Wednesday morning, back in studio today in Madison, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers. And we didn't talk a whole lot, I guess, yesterday, but we have a little bit on your Thanksgiving and your weekend off. You spend a little bit of time playing board games with your niece. Is that correct?
Yeah. What did we play? I'm blanking right now. we played Wingspan, which is a game. It's a bird watching game, which sounds like it could be very boring, but it's not at all. Everybody's just collecting different birds, and you have to get the right food to get them on your board and lay eggs. And it's a very much an engine building game where you get your boards your birds with different abilities and just cycle through, get more birds and stuff. But it's still simple, so it's pretty fun.
Awesome. Very cool. Very cool. Well, hopefully you'll have all had a good kind of get back into the norm after a few days off, perhaps. Or if you had to work, we appreciate everything that those folks in retail and other places are doing throughout the Thanksgiving Day weekend. I always think about the gas station people when I travel on holiday weekends. I've known people who worked at convenience stores and gas stations, some gas stations close on Christmas, but many are open 365 days a year. Somebody has to be there, and many folks are away from their families in order to do that. So always appreciate those good folks who keep us going as we travel throughout the state of Wisconsin. Speaking of the state of Wisconsin and around the country, time for a little bit of what do you need to know for your Wednesday, November 30th, to get you up and get you going. Here are this morning's headlines for today. Out in Washington, D.C., the United States House of Representatives votes today on legislation to avert a rail strike. Leaders of both parties are saying a rail strike would be absolutely devastating to the nation's economy, as coal would be one of those items and commodities that would be slowed down and have a hard time getting to market if the rail strike goes through. The House of Representatives today will vote to try to avert that. Many pro-union folks, like Senator Bernie Sanders, say they're going to vote against it because the legislation or the agreement that both sides came to does not give workers enough paid time off. In the U.S. Senate last night, the bill passed by Senator Tammy Baldwin, the Respect Marriage Act. The vote was 61-36, protecting both same-sex and interracial marriages. 12 Republicans joined all Democrats. Unfortunately, Wisconsin's very own Ron Johnson, after saying earlier this year that he didn't have a problem with it, Now that he got reelected, he voted no. But again, the Respect for Marriage Act passed 61-36. It now goes to the U.S. House, which it has passed before, but because of amendments, it has to go back to the House again. President Joe Biden has said he will sign it when it comes to his desk. One person is hospitalized today after a shooting on State Street in downtown Madison yesterday afternoon. Police think it was a targeted shooting. The gunman is still at large. There was a false sighting of the gunman last night near the Kohl Center on campus, which caused police to keep Badger basketball fans inside the Kohl Center for about 20 minutes after the game ended. Again, it was a false sighting. No one was hurt at the Badger game. Incidentally, the Badgers, unfortunately, it was a well fought. It was a fun game to watch last night. I watched the most of the second half. The Badgers lost the Big Ten ACC Challenge to Wake Forest last night by a score of 78-75. So a close game there. Well fought, but the Badgers just couldn't get the ball to fall the last minute and a half, 2 minutes. And that was the deciding factor. Also, Wake Forest's Applegate, their guard, really a great shooter as well. So the Badgers drop a tough one, but they will be back on the road, I believe, against Marquette at the Pfizer Forum this weekend. So and Marquette last night knocked off Baylor, like the number 6 ranked team in the country. So Shaka Smart has the Golden Eagles of Marquette on a roll, and so that should be a good one when the Badgers travel down to in-state rival Marquette this weekend. Touched on weather before the break. We'll tell it to you again because it is a wintry day across much of Wisconsin. Our folks listening up in Amory this morning, we welcome you in and glad that you are here on WXCE. And you had quite a bit of snow, as Pat Kreitlow was telling us before, near Rice Lake, about 7-8 inches or so. That is going to be blowing and drifting as the forecast for today in Amory, Wisconsin. Flurries likely before 3. And then blowing snow after that, a high of only 19 degrees. There is a winter weather advisory. They actually called a hazardous weather outlook for the Amory area for patchy blowing snow expected for today. Could cause a tough vision if you're out there traveling on some of those back roads near Amory. So do be careful. For tonight, Amory, expect a low of 4 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, and a high of 28. Heading on down to Wausau and our partners there at WXCO in Wausau, Bull Falls Radio. Another hazardous weather outlook, this one more for high winds, not quite a high wind warning, but close. There will be a few icy spots that could be encountered on the roads this morning, so commuters should use caution throughout the day. Windy conditions are expected into this evening in Wausau. Strongest winds are expected this afternoon. Could be gusting up to 45 miles per hour. And again, expect a high of 22 in Wausau today, a low of around 7 tonight. And tomorrow, mostly sunny and a high of 29 in beautiful Wausau. If you're listening on WRCE in Richland Center, we'll get the call letters right yet. It's only my home station. You can expect a pretty nice day, a high near 23 degrees, but mostly sunny today. Tonight, a low of around 12 degrees, and tomorrow, Thursday, mostly sunny and a high of 36. No winter weather or hazardous weather outlook in Richland Center per se, but just to the west in Sauk County and just to the south in Iowa, Lafayette County, a hazardous weather outlook there for today. As again, high winds could be gusting up to 35 or 45 miles per hour. So do use caution if you have a high profile vehicle or if you have decorations or things like that outside, you might want to tie them down, give it a little extra love because the winds are going to be very, very strong throughout the day in Wisconsin. Wherever you're driving to, do so carefully. Want to spend just a minute or two revisiting the story we talked about yesterday and Pat and I just touched on today. Tammy Baldwin has really become, in my opinion, a wonderful legislator. She has been for quite some time. But as Pat pointed out, she really gets the state of Wisconsin. And you know, she got this $7.5 million in primarily for the dairy industry and the ag industry. We talked about that in an article by Pam Yonke from the Midwest Farm Report yesterday. But she also understands human rights as well. And she co-sponsored the Respect for Marriage Act, which codifies, to use the legal term, or makes certain, essentially, that people of the same sex, gay people, and that people of different ethnicities can marry. And isn't that kind of a, not kind of, it's a sad state to have to say we have to have a bill in 2022 in the United States of America to protect that. But the bill essentially says if you are in a same-sex relationship and get married, you can get married. Or if one person in the relationship is white and the other person isn't, or one person happens to be black and the other person Asian, you know, it doesn't matter. Interracial marriage is codified and made whole in this bill. It seems so straightforward and again, almost, not almost, appalling that we have to have legislation to protect this in the United States of America today, but yet we do because of the conservatives that Trump appointed to the Supreme Court. And let me make clear, there have been conservatives on the court who upheld these things. Recently, in 2015, I believe it was, when Justice Kennedy, a conservative judge, voted to uphold same-sex marriage, marriage equality. But now we have to come back and basically redo this. But let's focus on the positive for the day. And let me also add, I understand there are people that don't necessarily agree, particularly with the same-sex marriage part of this. People can have different opinions. That's fine. But what's unfortunate is that people like our other U.S. Senator, Ron Johnson, who earlier this year, before he stood for election, said, oh, I really don't have a problem with this, and led people to infer that he would vote for this. Now that he's been reelected, he voted no last night.
And he has openly admitted since that he only said it to get reporters off his back.
Thank you, Aaron. Absolutely. Yes, you're exactly right. Yeah, I just said that to, so people leave me alone. Thank you, Aaron. That's an important point. But there was an amendment in this bill that Senator Baldwin allowed and was voted on and passed that, I'll put it in layman's terms for you in everyday speak. The bill, the amendment basically said, look, if you are a religious institution, if you are a church, you don't have to marry people that you don't want to in your church. You don't have to allow marriages that you don't agree with to be held in your church. So this is not infringement on people's religious beliefs. If you for religious reasons, I may not agree with you, but if you for religious reasons don't support this, this act protects you.
Yeah, I definitely don't see anything wrong with that side of it. Like, if I was getting married to somebody and the church that I wanted to get married at told me that they wouldn't do it, I no longer want to get married there anyway.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's you're right. You wouldn't feel good. I mean, I, as a gay person, I wouldn't want to go get married in a church that doesn't want me. You know, like my home church at the United Methodist, who are splitting the entire denomination over this issue, which is a show we're going to do at some point. Not today. But I want to bring on thoughtful people because this is a really fascinating issue to me as someone who's lived it, a lot of it, is that the United Methodist Church, one of the most well-known and one of the larger denominations around the world. And let me say, it does some wonderful work. They have something called UMCOR, which is basically like a Red Cross type of arm where they go out and they help people who are going through floods or hurricanes or earthquakes and has nothing directly to do with denominational religion, quote unquote. It's just helping people, which is wonderful. And they do a lot of great work. But the United Methodist Church has decided that they are going to split off and faction off into basically parts of the one part of the church or some churches support marriage of same-sex couples, marriage equality, and some feel so strongly about it that they want to leave the denomination entirely over this one issue, which, again, to me is baffling because even if, I don't agree with it, but even if you want to make the religious argument that this is somehow sinful, well, so is, you know, adultery. And there, believe me, a lot of adulterers in the United Methodist Church. And then people who marry each other who had affairs within the church. And that's just great. Invite them to the potluck. We have no problem with that. But, you know, geez, if you've been in a monogamous, thoughtful relationship with someone of the same sex, we don't want you around.
To those people who would leave the church over this issue, I say adios.
Pretty much. And that's what they're doing. So that will be an entire show at some point, or at least an hour long part of the show. Not today, but it will be. So anyway, well done, Tammy Baldwin, and those 12 Republicans also. Let's give them credit for crossing over and making this a bipartisan bill. We appreciate those thoughtful Republicans as well. We'll be back with more. This is the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Show of the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 8:33 on a Wednesday, the 30th of November, 2022. Nice job, Aaron, on the music, because girls have won the world, or women, more directly. Who's the artist on that one?
Beyonce.
Oh, of course. How could, geez, people are going, Todd, you idiot. How could you not know Beyonce? I know. I'm just an old man.
And also, for those of you listening, it is the clean version. I know I was fading it out right as you would have been swearing, so you might not have heard, but don't worry about it. We're good.
Aaron's very thoughtful. He's on top of it. He knows what's up. So yeah, it's women. We'll make it not just girls, but women are ruling the world right now, and that's a good thing, I think. A little positive news story here today. And I think we always need to have some positivity because there are some good things happening in and around the world. And one of those things is in the United States Congress. For all the complaining that Todd does or other people do about Congress and what doesn't get done, let's give some credit where credit is due and talk about something that is getting done. And that is women coming on in a very powerful role in the 118th Congress, which is going to happen here come January. Headline, in the 118th Congress, the Four Corners, as it's known, will be all women. In the next Congress, it will bring a historic change to four of the most powerful seats in Washington. The chairs and ranking members who run the House and Senate Appropriations Committee, for the first time in U.S. history, all positions will be held by women. All right? Let's take a second to talk about the House, Senate, and Appropriations Committee. Paul Ryan, former U.S. Congressman from Wisconsin, was on this committee. I can't remember if he was chair of Appropriations, or he was at Ways and Means as well, but I know he was on Appropriations for a while. Appropriations is kind of like a committee in Wisconsin called the Joint Finance Committee, or the Committee on Joint Finance. The short acronym is JFC, Joint Finance Committee, but I believe the proper title is Committee on Joint Finance. And this is where all the decisions are made about your tax dollars, our tax dollars, okay? And this is where the budget gets done, all the sausage making, as they say, of the budget. And I'll pause for a second. I love this story. One of my favorite memories in the state capitol of the Joint Finance Committee. And this was, if a memory serves, 2011, 2012-ish, whenever the budget was up there, whatever year it was that the budget was up, probably must have been 2012. And I believe Dean Coffert, former state representative, Republican Dean Coffert, was the assembly co-chair of Joint Finance at the time. And I believe Alberta Darling was the chair of the Senate side of Joint Finance. So it's Dean Coffert and Alberta Darling, the co-chairs, Republicans. And I can't remember who it was that came up with this idea. They were not real bright, whoever it was. But somebody thought, trying to find ways to cut the budgets of state government and that sort of, they came up with the idea, let's cut some money out of the state Supreme Court. Of all things, let's go after the Supreme Court. Because, you know, they're just blowing money right and left. Not true. So the Chief Justice at the time was Wisconsin legend Shirley Abramson. Longtime fighter for Wisconsinites, a great justice, a great chief justice. No one cared more about the Supreme Court of Wisconsin, the institution of the Supreme Court of Wisconsin, than Chief Justice Shirley Abramson. And she was, if you looked at her, a very diminutive, small person. I don't know that Shirley Abramson was 5 feet, maybe 5'2", 5'3", at most, on a good day. Very small, slender woman, petite, always well-dressed, professional, consummate professional. And people may have heard me talk about this before. I've spoken about the institution, quote-unquote, of the Wisconsin State Senate. The institution of the Supreme Court. You're saying, Todd, what in the world does that mean? It used to be, and there are a few, I'll give credit, there are still a few people out there that believe this. It used to be that when you were elected, particularly to state office or above, the Assembly, the Senate, the Supreme Court, that when you went in, there was kind of an initiation. And no one did this better, in my opinion, than former Senate chief clerk Donnie Schneider. And he would sit down with legislators and oftentimes staff, and he would explain, congratulations, welcome, anything we could do to help you out, we're here to help you, here's what we could do for you, here's what we can't do for you, and here's what you need to do for us. Because you are now part of an institution. You don't disparage a fellow state senator on the floor of the state Senate by Senate rule. You don't, he went right through a list of this. You have a responsibility to uphold the institution. We have rules to be respectful. We have rules of decorum. And these rules are in place so that this becomes a legitimate body of deliberation and passing the will of the people. We don't allow this institution to be sullied by personal attacks, by behavior that is unbecoming. Because if you do that in the eyes of the public, that makes us less legitimate when we do things well. So Don Schneider made this very clear to incoming state senators and staff that the reason these rules are in place to be respectful to when you get on the floor of the state Senate, a state senator never calls another senator by their name. It's always the senator from and then their district, the senator from the 3rd, the senator from the 24th, the senator from the 19th. That's the way you address each other on the floor of the state Senate. And by doing so, it makes it a more gentle person's body. And the idea is that people then respect that body because they say, oh, these people, while they may have faults in their personal lives, when they come to be professionals, they uphold a certain standard. Therefore, we can trust that they're going to be responsible when they deliberate bills and when they vote to spend our tax money. It's a matter of respect, you see. And that's what I mean when I say uphold an institution. All right? And Shirley Abrahamson, the Chief Court Justice, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Wisconsin at the time, in 2012, she was the Chief Justice in charge, and she was the one that submitted the budget for the Supreme Court. Well, she might have been a small woman in size physically, no one got anything over on Shirley Abramson because she was there, and I can attest to this. I leave the Capitol sometimes at 9, 10 at night and look up into her office, and her light was still on, or I'd see her, you know, going to the restroom or getting a drink of water or whatever. Sometimes I'd walk out, and she'd be walking out of the building at the same time. And a wonderfully nice person, wonderfully nice, and dedicated to the Supreme Court, that we are going to uphold the law. We are going to do what's right by voters. All right? And believe me, her budgets never had a bunch of fat in them or pork or goofy spending. It's what she needed. So somebody on the Joint Finance Committee said, geez, a good thing to be, let's take some money away from Shirley. So the item came up for consideration in the Joint Finance Committee. And Shirley Abramson walked in from the back of the room, walked very quietly, but with her eyes focused on Dean Coffert and Alberta Darling, the co-chairs of Joint Finance, like lasers. And without putting her head down, she walked to the front of the room, sat in the front row, and stared at Dean Coffert and Alberta Darling. Just stared. And Dean Coffert said, "I think we'll take a recess and we'll be back in a little bit." And he hit the gavel. And I don't know, I think they were gone for 20 minutes or so. And Shirley Abrahamson just sat there, staring at them, staring at some of the staff in the room, didn't say a word. And then the Joint Finance Committee and Coffert reconvened the Joint Finance Committee and said, this item has been pulled. We're moving on. Next. And Shirley Abrahamson got up and without saying a word, turned and walked out of the room. That was it. If you want to know what power is or was in the state capitol, Shirley Abrahamson was the epitome, the personification of power. She was so powerful and so feared that she just had to show up in a room and stare. And they did not touch her budget 1 cent. And they didn't pull any money out of that budget. Now that, my friends, that is real power. She was a wonderful person. And she passed away a year or two ago. And I saw her actually at the Pancake House of all places with her family. And she was in a wheelchair at the time. She was ill. And I thanked her for everything that she had done for this state. Just a remarkable, remarkable person, Shirley Abrahamson. And that is what real power is. So if you want to know what women in government could do, look to Shirley Abrahamson. So that's what's happening now in the United States Congress. We have women, strong women in control. These women, again, will be the ranking member and the chair of the House, Senate, and Appropriations Committee. Senator Patty Murray, Democrat of Washington, is slated to be Senate Appropriations Chair. Senator Susan Collins, Republican of Maine, will be the top Republican. On the House side, the Appropriations Chair will be Representative Kay Granger, Republican of Texas, and the top Democrat will be Representative Rosa DeLaRue, Democrat of Connecticut. Together, they're known as the Four Corners, the key leaders who guide how nearly $2 trillion in taxpayer money is spent each year. So this is remarkable. For, as my fifth grade teacher Otis Scott used to say, since God was a boy, men have largely controlled how our tax dollars are going to be spent in this country. And now for the first time, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, we have four women, two Republicans and two Democrats, who will be in charge of the House and Senate Appropriations Committee. I think it's good that we take a minute to recognize this. I think it's good that we take a minute to celebrate this. Because for too long, women have been pushed aside and given other roles in government. And I think that, I know that that's one of the things that people need to be given credit for when this happens. That on the Republican side, George W. Bush, whether or not you agreed with him or not on many of the issues, he appointed more women and more people of color to secretary positions in his cabinet and other higher roles than any president before him at that time between 2000 and 2008. Barack Obama did much the same. And now Joe Biden, if memory serves, there are more women in higher and high positions of power within appointed government by Joe Biden than ever before. So whether it was George W. Bush or Barack Obama, or now Joe Biden, men are making sure that women have a spot at the table. But now here, what's cool about this in the House and the Senate is that these four women, two Republicans and two Democrats, They have earned. Nobody's saying kind of pity them. Well, we need to put a woman on this. No, these women are professionals that have earned the right to chair and be the ranking members on these two committees that will decide our tax dollars. And isn't it about time that we have a woman's perspective on this and have true leaders? I love it. I absolutely love it. So great, our crack staff. We have people that you don't even know about working around the clock to bring you these factoids, and we're happy to do it. More after this. Stay with us. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I want to ride my
bicycle.
I want to ride my bicycle.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Who's better at music than Aaron Zommers? Nobody. I'll tell you that. Nobody. Who's that, Aaron?
Well, thank you. It's Queen, Bicycle Race.
Oh, my gosh. That's so fantastic. Bicycle Race, he's on it. He is on top of it because we're going to spend a little time. And by the way, we welcome your calls this morning on anything we've talked about so far or anything that's on your mind. Give us a call, 715-388-7155. Again, 715-388-7155. Todd will say it slowly so you can write it down. Our number to call in and talk to us on any topic or give us your opinion, 715-388-7155. Great job with the music because we are going to talk a little bicycling here. This is a story from about a week or so ago by Adele Peters. And the title is, If You Were Starting From Scratch, Cars Wouldn't Make Sense. Pete Buttigieg on Redesigning Cities. Of course, Pete Buttigieg, the former mayor of South Bend, Indiana, ran for president, kind of came in third-ish. If you want to look at that, won the Iowa primary unexpectedly and then was one of the last ones to drop out and endorse Joe Biden. And Biden then appointed Pete Buttigieg as U.S. Secretary for Transportation and has really been one of the bright success stories in the Biden administration. Arguably the largest singular piece of legislation that got passed this session was the infrastructure bill that put billions of dollars into roads, bridges, computer upgrades, broadband into rural areas. And this money is just now starting to reach local municipalities. So Pete Buttigieg got this bill through for the Biden administration and now continues to work on new ways to make our urban areas in particular, and let's be clear, urban areas don't just mean like Madison and Milwaukee. Wausau is an urban area. Eau Claire is an urban area into itself. There are even arguments that smaller cities like Richland Center of 5,000 people or Reedsburg, a little under 10,000 people, I believe. There are Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point. We talked to Mayor Mike Wiese couple weeks ago. These are considered urban areas when it comes to funding and getting money. So this article, I think, is really interesting. You're going to read some of it. We'll discuss it. Call in and tell us what you think. Again, 715-388-7155. Article by Ardell Peters from the site Long Read says hundreds of millions of dollars from the bipartisan infrastructure law are starting to flow to new bike and pedestrian infrastructure around the country. From a new bike and pedestrian bridge that connects neighborhoods and jobs in downtown Phoenix to a new greenery in St. Louis, Missouri. It's one way the law is helping shrink transportation emissions, along with new funding to electrify ports, more money for trains and public transit, and $7.5 billion for new EV charging network. Again, EV is electric vehicle. And you could say, well, Todd, this is just for places like you mentioned, like Phoenix or whatever. No. Have you driven up to Wisconsin Dells and have you been on the interstate there and gone, say, to Culver's in Mauston, right off the interstate? Little old Mauston, county seat of Juneau County. Great little burg. Have lots going on in Mauston. I should know, since I once ran for assembly for that area, but it's been a few years. I'm going to guess Mauston, I'm not sure if it's as big as Richland Center. I'm going to say Mauston is around 4,000 people. Let's just do this in real time for the fun of it. Hey, Siri, how big is Mauston, Wisconsin? Let's see if Siri can tell me. I should have said how many people live in Mauston, Wisconsin. See, look, she's not telling me.
Okay.
Look at that. Look at how good Siri is. Siri tells me that there are 4,316 people in Mauston, Wisconsin. So I was a little bit smaller than Richland Center. So 4,000, a little over 4,000 people live in beautiful Mauston in Juneau County. And if you're not familiar, Mauston is a 15-minute drive on the interstate from the Dells, more or less. There's a Culver's there in Mauston. And if you go into the parking lot, in the back side of the parking lot, I think it's been a while since I've been there, but I'm going to say there are 6 electric vehicle charging stations, most of them put there by Tesla. All right? So these stories about urban transportation alternatives aren't just for the Madisons of the world. They're for the Maustons. And for the Wausaus, and for the Rice Lakes, and the Eau Claires of the world as well, and the Richland Centers. So this affects all of us, okay? So in this transportation budget, the infrastructure law now, there's $7.5 billion for new electric vehicle charging network stations. It says in the article, we talked to Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg about the role that active transportation can play in a decarbonized future, and what the U.S. could learn from street design in bike-friendly cities like Copenhagen, where our good friend Christian Jensen is from. Well, not Copenhagen proper, but Denmark. Previously, as mayor of South Bend, Indiana, Buttigieg pushed for complete streets that make room for biking and walking. They asked Secretary Buttigieg, you've traveled to Amsterdam and Copenhagen when you were mayor, along with then Secretary of Transportation Anthony Fox. What did you learn about the role that street design plays and how much people bike? Buttigieg says, there are 3 things that I really took away from that trip. The first is that design really does matter in creating an environment that supports bicycle commuting, not just as a hobby or a kind of quirky thing for a handful of people to do, but as a mainstream way to get around. That really makes a big difference. That was what we were expecting to see. But 2 of the things that were a little more surprising, they went through the numbers of how bicycle commuting and active transportation grew in places like Copenhagen or Amsterdam. And what you saw is it didn't start out that way. The perception in the U.S. is that, you know, this is just ingrained in Nordic culture. They've always been different. It always will be. But if you look at a picture of downtown Copenhagen in the 60s or 70s, it's as car-centric as any place is in the United States. So what happened was automatic or completely organic, they made a set of choices, and those choices helped. We'll be back with more of this article, Pete Buttigieg, and how bicycles and alternative transportation can be implemented in Wisconsin. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.